Hey, we are good. Some good news. We're in week two of our series, Hold the Line. And last week was a heavy week. We kind of felt some spiritual attacks that were going on because of the message that God had given me to deliver. And there was a lot of things going on. And even from the my notes, I couldn't find my notes, and so I just went off the cuff. And clearly, God wanted that to happen. I have my notes today, so. The good news is this, is that I won't go as long as I went last week. Because I tend to just talk, and you know, sometimes I get out and wherever. But I have them I'm excited about today. The other cool thing that I'm excited about, and Chris is going to talk about this a little bit later. So we're going to be in this series, Hold the Line, for a little bit. And we're like, you know what, let's do everything that we can to help us remember each and every day to hold the line on the biblical truths of the gospel. And so what we did is we decided to create some stickers, some Hold the Line stickers. I'm gonna slap one on my podium because I like to do that, and there's some really cool ones up here already. But if you want one of these, you can grab one of those on the way out, and you can put it on your car, put it on your phone, put it on your forehead, put it on somebody's face. I don't know. Put it wherever you want to put it, and let it be a reminder about what we're doing and what God's calling you to each and every week. All right, there we go. So we got that going there. Hey, I challenged you guys last week to memorize some scripture. It was Galatians 1:10, and it talked about who were we trying to win the approval of? Who are we trying to please? Is it for man or is it for God? And it talks about, like, if we're still trying to please and get the approval of man, we are not a slave to God. We are not yoked to Christ, but we are still continuing to be a slave to our sin. And so I hope that you spoke that over your life this week. It helped you just remind you of whose approval that we should be seeking and going after every single week. Now, because I didn't have my notes last week, there was a really crucial scripture that I wanted to share. But it was all how God wanted it to lay out. Because now I took that scripture that I didn't share and we're going to be talking about it completely today. And so the scripture is John 8, verses 31 through 34. So we're going to dive into that. And actually, we're going to be looking at John 8, like the whole thing, just kind of condensed version. So John 8, 31 through 34. You can follow along on the screens. Follow along if you have your Bible, or you can use our notes. Here we go. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin." It goes on in verse 33, the second part, and it says, this is the religious teachers, "What do you mean by saying you will be set free?" And Jesus answered, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, everyone who practices sin habitually is a slave of sin." If we're living in sin, if we're practicing sin, if that's what we're going after, we're a slave to that. In Galatians 5:1, it says, "It was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery to sin, which is once removed." And last week I said this. I said, when we're yoked to sin, we go where sin leads. We do what sin does. But when we are yoked to Jesus, we go where God leads. And we got to be very, very mindful of what sin is. We got to be very, very mindful of what truth is and that we're living that truth out. If you want to hold the line, if we want to hold the line, then we've got to be yoked to Jesus. We've got to be yoked to the word. We've got to be yoked to the truth of the gospel and not to sin and not the sinful desires of this world. Here's kind of a first write down that I want to give to you, and that is this: freedom from sin. And we just talked about it in John 8. Freedom from sin comes from knowledge and pursuit of the truth. Freedom from sin comes from the knowledge and pursuit of the truth. And that's what we're going to unpack today. You know, Jesus talks about being set free and that if we know the truth, we will be set free. So we're going to pursue some truth this morning. And I have a lot of scripture for you guys. Is everyone okay with that? Is it good that we got scripture today in church? Because I got a lot. And it's some heavy-hitting stuff, but this is what we're talking about. In order to hold the line, we got to know this stuff. We got to hear this stuff. We got to understand this stuff. And if you have questions about anything in here, ask. Write it on your prayer card. Reach out. Bring it to your groups. Because we got to hold the line of truth. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive into God's word. God, right now, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to you. God, first and foremost, me as your vessel. God, empty me. Fill me with your spirit. Let your spirit speak. Let your spirit move. Let your word be brought. Let it challenge us. Let it change us. Let it convict us so that we can begin to live in you and for you wholly. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So John 8:32, it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Anybody ever told a lie? Come on, people. Now, think about, do you, like, especially when you're kids, maybe not, maybe a little bit when you're older, but especially when you're kids, you know, like, you have something and you're holding on to something and you told a lie and it is destroying you on the inside, right? Like, it's just deteriorating everything. Like, you know you want to get it out, but you're afraid of the consequences. You're afraid of what's going to, but it's just, it's destroying you. And that's what sin does. That's what lie does. But the moment that the truth leaves your mouth, there's like this freedom, right? You're just like, oh, I felt really good. I don't know why I waited so long to say that, to bring that out. And as parents, oftentimes, and not that our kids are bad or anything, they kind of share these little white lies, and they share half-truths. And like, we'll ask questions about, like, who dumped the peanut butter out or something. I don't know. And they're like, it wasn't me. There are other times when it's more serious than that. And, you know, there are times when we just say, hey, listen, like, we already know the truth, right? As parents, they think we don't, but we're like, we already know that you did it. We have a camera watching. No, okay. That is true, probably in some cases, but. So it's like, we already know what the truth is. We're just wanting them to admit to the truth. And I don't know if, as a parent, if you ever said this, be like, listen, if you'll just be willing to tell the truth, that's it, it's done. You've shared the truth, you've gotten the truth out, there are no consequences, it's not a big deal. And I think one of the reasons why we do that for our kids is because, first and foremost, we want them to not fear telling the truth. Well, if I tell the truth, I'm going to get in trouble. If I tell the truth, you're going to spank my butt. If I tell the truth, I'm going to lose my technology. If I tell the truth, there's all these consequences. And there are times when the lie or whatever they're caught up in is very serious, and there are still consequences. But at the end of the day, what we want to get them to do is to say the truth. Because it's in the truth that we are set free from the shame, from the guilt, and from the regret of that lie or of that sin that we are living in. And so the truth, it sets us free. And so Jesus says this, know the truth and it'll set you free. Well, what's it setting us free from? This is pretty easy. The truth, it sets us free from sin. As we talked about in Galatians, it sets us free from slavery and bondage and being shackled to that sin. The longer you hold on to that lie, the longer it controls what you do and your actions. So we're a slave to it. Now, I think in order to say, okay, well, I want to be set free from the truth, and I want to be set free from my sin, but then we get into those blurred lines. Well, what is sin? Where do I go for that? And I think as believers, we can say, well, you know, this is it. This is where we know what sin is. This is how we find out what sin is. But I think even sometimes as believers, we're like, I know where it's at, but I don't want to go look, because I don't want to read it, because I don't want to leave the sin that I'm living in. In order for us to be set free from sin and to have knowledge of the truth, we got to know what sin is. Not only in our own lives so that we can recognize it and see it, but also so that we can, man, share the truth with others. The Bible clearly lays out what sin is. But oftentimes in our sin or in others' sin, our sin within us tries to rationalize what sin isn't and tell us a lie and deceive us. So we're gonna jump into some scriptures. The first one is in Romans. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 25. And we're going to go all the way through 32. Here we go. It says this, but because by choice, and this is why it starts out, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's so powerful. Just underline that. By choice, we choose lies, we choose deception, we choose sin over the truth of God. By choice, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who was blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading and vile passions. For the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnaturally functioned contrary to nature. In the same way, also the men turned away from the natural function of the women and were consumed with their desire toward one another, men with men committing shameful acts and returning, receiving in their own bodies an inevitable and appropriate penalty for the wrongdoing. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive, until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and mean-spiritedness. They are gossips, spreading rumors, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and disrespectful to their parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, without pity. Maybe I should just read that over and over again. Because it's one of those things that's like, well, I'm just not really sure if this falls under sin. And a lot of times, what we tend to do is we give opinions on things. Or we tend to allow people's experiences or feelings tell us what truth is. But at the end of the day, there's only one truth, and it's found right here. And this clearly reveals to us what sin is. Let's go. You want some more? James 4:17, and this one's really fun. Here you go. You ready? So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is a sin. I mean, that kind of just says, whoop. So I have the word. I know what the word tells me is good, but I'm choosing not to live that out. That is a sin. That's what James tells us. You go over to Galatians 5. Let me jump over there in my Bible. We're going to look at verses 19. Here we go. Now, I just want you to know, I'm giving you these so that you can have them. This isn't something that you should be like, well, Pastor Brent gave me that and that was good and now I know. No. You need to know this stuff so that when you see someone living in sin and you can see that that sin is hurting them, you can bring the truth to them and not your opinion on what you think they should do. Just bring them to the truth. Because at the end of the day, they can argue with how you feel and what your opinions are, but they can't argue against the word of God. I mean, they can, but his word stands forever. And so I'm giving you this so that you can know this for yourself, and so that you can help proclaim the truth to others. Galatians 5:19. Now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I previously did, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we're willing to take the time to know the truth, we can speak the truth over our own lives to help us be set free from the sin that is tempting us, and we can also preach that to others as well. I think one of the big causes behind why many people are leaving this and have a hard time with Christianity is because there's so many Christians that like to say, well, that's a sin, but can't back up why it's a sin and can't show these people where it's a sin in the truth of God. At the end of the day, you can't change or transform anyone. It's only the truth that sets us free. And so this is what we have to live. This is what we have to know. This is what we have to share. This is what defines what sin is for us. And it also gives us the only way out. The way, the truth, the life found in Jesus Christ. So what are we set free from? We're set free from sin, and it's right there. And I would encourage you, look at those scriptures. I mean, did you know Romans 1 said all that? I mean, really, did you know? It lays it all out. Know the word. Okay, so what's the truth set us? What truth sets us free? That's the second thing I want to talk about. So we're set free through two things. Jesus, we know that he's the way and the truth and the life. And then we also are set free through the word, and his word is truth. Go back up to John 8, verses 31, 32, and it says, "Abide in my word, and you are my disciples." And then in John 8, 51, it says, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if anyone keeps my word," right here, the truth, "by living in accordance with his message, he will indeed never, ever see and experience death." And what Jesus is talking about is eternal death, because we know we're going to face death here on this earth, but we're not going to face eternal condemnation or damnation because we have believed in the truth and live in the truth in our lives, and so we're not going to experience that death. And so this is what he's talking about. But it says, "You abide in my word, and you keep my word, and you know my word." We know that sin brings death, and we know what sets us free, and it's truth. It's God's word, and it's God's son. And so we come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know what that was like for you. I don't know what took place. I don't know how that all came about. But you come to this knowledge of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it wrecked me, and it changed me. But it wasn't a one-time event. I was like, all right, 20-some years ago, I came to the knowledge of the truth, but I haven't lived the truth any day since. There's a portion of this where it's like, okay, yes, I've come to know the truth, who Jesus is and what Jesus did, and now, because I know him, I'm going to live in him and I'm going to live out his word in my life. And that means daily I'm going to study, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to grow in who he calls me to be. It's continually being set free every day through the word, through teaching, and really what this is discipleship. We are set free by the truth, which is Jesus, and by keeping the truth. Set free by him and by keeping the truth of the gospel. So we're set free from sin. We're set free by Jesus, the truth, and the word that is the truth. And this kind of brings to the last kind of question. What the truth sets us free to do what? What does it set us free to? It sets us free to proclaim the truth to others. It's not something that is just for us. It's given to us, it's revealed to us, and we proclaim that to others. We're set free to proclaim the truth. Mark 16:15. "And then Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." The gospel of truth, the gospel of this message, the gospel of who Jesus is. Every Jesus follower has come to know the truth, has responded to and adjusted their life to the truth, and then they are called to go forth and proclaim the truth to others. That's everybody. All the nations. Friends, family, coworkers, anyone we come in contact with. We know it, we've responded to it, we've adjusted our life to it, and now we proclaim it. We proclaim it with our words, but we also proclaim it with our actions. Live the truth out every single day. So if we've been set free by the truth, we must bring the truth to the sin that we see. You understand? We've been set free from our sin, from slavery to our sin, and we are called to bring that truth, again, not our feelings, not our opinions, to bring the truth to the sin that we see. Now, we're gonna jump back a little bit now, because we were all the way down in John 8, verse 32 and down, but there's a story, there's a situation that led to the current discussion in the beginning of the chapter. So we're going to check this out. It's the beginning of John 8, verse 7. Let me just set this up really quick, because the religious leaders had caught a woman in the act of adultery and brought her before Jesus. It was funny. I was reading a commentary. It was like, were they just walking around looking for women in adultery? It's almost like they almost set it up. It's like, okay, we know maybe that this lady would be in adultery, so let's pay this guy off, and then we'll come in and we'll catch her in it. Like, I don't think the religious leaders were out there doing that all day, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, that was a side note. Let me get back to this. Woman's caught in adultery. They throw her in front of Jesus and are like, hey, what do you think? And here we go. We should, you know, condemn her and stone her. The law says this. Verse 7, it says, "However, when they persisted in questioning him, he straightened up and said, he who is without any sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And he stooped down again and started writing on the ground. They listened to his reply and they began to go out one by one, starting with the oldest ones until he was left alone with the woman standing there before him in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she answered, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go, and from now on, sin no more." See, in this moment, Jesus didn't judge her or condemn her. However, he did recognize and call out her sin and told her to repent from it, to turn away from it, and to sin no more. Now, the reason that I bring this up, because when I talk about holding the line, it is not about condemnation. It is not about being judgmental. It's not about being demeaning or belittling or forceful. It's not about proving your rightness. It has nothing to do with that. At the end of the day, holding the line is an act of love. And it has to be. We've got to come at this with love. Think about this. Do you remember when Christ set you free from the slavery of sin that you were living in? Take a moment right now. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember that time? Do you remember the sin that you were living in? Think about it. Just enter into it for a moment. How did that come to be? How did you get to this place where you heard the truth and the truth set you free? Was it forceful? Was it coerced? Did someone belittle you or condemn you or judge you? My guess is, for the majority of us, the answer is no. I've seen it time and time again. You can't force someone into a relationship with Jesus by telling them how bad they are or condemning them or judging them. No, we just share the truth that set us free, the truth that we were undeserved of, right? Because we were once sinners, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's too many Christians that take this word and beat people over the head with it instead of lovingly embracing people that are in the hurt that they're living in. And Jesus comes along and he said, I don't condemn you. I love you, but that sin that you're living in, it is hurting you. And I got to call you out of that and get you free from that and get you back into the truth. And that is what we're called to do. And we can't do that lovingly if we can't properly defend the truth, if we don't properly know the truth. Because if we can't properly defend the truth, we get defensive over our faith because we don't really know it. And we shouldn't be a people who are as angry or getting mad at someone else who's living in sin. No, we lovingly go after them and pull them out of it. The gospel truth is predicated on love, not on condemnation. It was always about relationship. It was always about God loving us so much that he sent his son to die for us so that we could have a relationship with him. Holding the line, we're doing that against sin, not people. We condemn sin, not a person. Now, thinking about like Romans 1 and what Galatians laid out for us, there's so many things listed there. And I think sometimes we're like, okay, I do know Romans 1, and I do know what it says is sin. And I can see that that person's living in sin. And that's not right. And I got to tell them that it's not right. And I think for a lot, we like to tell people that they can't feel that way or they don't feel that way because it's a sin. And that's, you can't do that. Listen, anger can turn into sin. But you can't go up to someone and say, you're not allowed to feel angry at somebody. Could you imagine? Has anyone ever told you? No, you don't feel angry right now. I'll be like, that made me angry, so I'm gonna punch you. Like, we would never go to someone and say, that's not how you're feeling. No, instead, instead of coming at their feelings and the way they're, like, I will never come against the way someone's feeling. I'm not them. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they've been through. I don't know the attacks that are on their life. I don't know. So I'm not going to come at their feelings. But if what they're feeling is in danger of leading them to an action of sin, I'm going to come in lovingly, tell them the truth. Now, let's jump into homosexuality. You ready? This is fun. So many people like to say that, no, you can't feel that way about somebody. You can't feel sexual attraction for the same sex. You can't have a deep-rooted emotional connection to somebody else. And that is not for you to say to anybody. Because you can't know. Let me ask you this. And I'm just going to throw this out here. Is it a sin if someone feels attracted to someone of the same sex? You don't have to answer out loud. Just think about it. Is that a sin if you feel attracted? If you think there is someone else, I think Brad Pitt is a good-looking guy. There, I said it, okay? Is that a sin? I mean, clearly God made him a little bit better than me, so there's that. Just from looks, I got a better heart than I don't really know that. Okay, anyway. But that's the thing. It's like, it's the same as someone feeling angry, right? We don't tell them that they don't feel angry. You can't tell someone that they don't feel a certain way. But you do talk to them about what the truth says. And it's okay to have a strong emotional connection to someone of the same sex. What has happened in our day and age is that our culture has perverted it into needing to be something other than what it needs to be. It is a strong, deep-rooted relationship. And guess what? God wants us to be in strong, deep-rooted relationships with one another, where I have an emotional connection with another man who has come alongside me and supported me. The enemy comes in and whispers lies and says, hey, you know what? That needs to turn into something else that it shouldn't be. And that's when we get into the truth. You can't tell someone how they're feeling, but if they are getting ready, because of what they're feeling, to turn that into an action that is clearly sin, that's when you step in and say, hey, listen, I know this is how you're feeling. Let's talk about it. Let's figure this out. Let's go to God's word. Let's see what it says. Let's pray his word and his promises over our lives. Let's go through this together. Don't commit this act. Don't commit this sin. Because we do know that it is a sin to enter into homosexual relationships with that act of sex. It's also, we talk about sex outside of marriage, and we talk about adultery, right? And we're not going to be like, oh, you feel like going to, you know, cheat on your wife. Okay, I'm going to let you do that. No, we're going to enter in and lovingly say, you know, what is going on? What's really the problem? What's at the root of this? We don't condemn people for how they feel. We lovingly share them the truth. I never try to discredit how someone feels. I will, however, do my very best to help them navigate their feelings, so that they can come back to the truth that will set them free and not be led into sin that leads to slavery and lies and deceit. So we share the truth and help them not turn their feelings into actions of sin. And this is the same for any of the sins we read about. Unfortunately, you know, homosexuality is one of those ones that it's a hot topic right now, and it's one of those ones that it's a lifestyle that's lived out. It's habitual sin, and it's hard. We don't talk about it. We don't touch it. We leave it alone for fear of us being called judgmental, for fear of really not understanding. We back away from it, but the Bible doesn't. And so if there's something going on in your life, in a friend's life, in a family member's life, and you can sense that their feelings are leading them down a path that will lead to sin, go to the truth, help them understand the truth, and help guide them through that. Don't condemn them, don't judge them, don't tell them how they should feel, because that'll just be a surefire way to lead them away from you and you helping them. Love them through it. Help them through it. It's not about telling someone that they're wrong. It's never about that. It's about showing them to the truth of the gospel that we have found in Jesus Christ, because it's the truth that sets us free. John 8, 7 says this. It says, he who is without any sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And they all walked away. Because again, at the end of the day, we are all sinners. We are all in danger of falling back into the trap of sin and slavery in our lives. We are not to judge. We are not to condemn. We're to show grace and truth and love. So we don't throw stones. We don't do that. We don't throw stones. We remember the truth that set us free from slavery. We remember that. And so because we had the truth that set us free from slavery, we don't throw stones. We throw the truth. And we put the truth out there. And we help set others free from sin and slavery through the truth. You know, there's a very distinguishable trait between loving someone enough to call them out on their sin and pretending to love them by condemning them for their sin. Too many Christians condemn, and they call it love. And then I think on the flip side, there are too many Christians that are afraid to call people out in love. And we need to start knowing the truth and standing up to the truth and believing, man, that and looking back at the story and seeing how Jesus handled what was taking place. There was someone who was living in sin, you know, and committing the act of adultery, and he knew that, but he didn't condemn her. You see, that's the thing. Jesus redeems. The truth redeems, but Satan and sin condemns. Jesus, the truth, forgives. Satan and sin shames. Jesus, the truth, sets free, but Satan and sin hold us captive. And so we want to be a people that redeems and that forgives and that sets free, helps people do that in their lives from the bondage of sin's slavery. I want to read to you Romans 8. Here's what it says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. These are the ones who have been set free by the truth. In verse 2 it says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, and when he talks about the law, he's talking about the Old Testament law and the commandments and all these things. And if you go and you read, and I put a little note here, if you go and read Galatians, you can write this down, Galatians 3:19 and Romans 3:20, it talks about what was the purpose of the law. Galatians 3:19, Romans 3:20. What was the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law was to show us the sinfulness of our sin, to help us understand what sin was. And the religious leaders of this time were so about the law that they forgot about love. So I wanted to help you understand that. So for what the law, right, what that showed us could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power being weakened by the flesh, man's nature, without the Holy Spirit, God did. And here's how he did it. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of his own son, Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation for those who have been set free. And if you've been set free, we're not called to condemn. We're called to share the truth and spread the truth and proclaim the truth with love. The truth we hold is meant to bring redemption. It's meant to bring forgiveness. It's meant to bring freedom. Never condemnation. Never shame. And never bondage. Last week I left you guys with a little bit of take-home work, if you will. We did a memory verse. And I'm going to give you a moment now to write these questions down. If you're taking notes, maybe pull out your phone and write this down. Again, because a part of this is us learning and taking the truths that we hear on Sunday and then living them out the rest of our days of the week. And so here's some homework for you. I already talked to you about recalling your moment of truth, like when God sets you free. And so I want you to really go back to that moment and just look at how God sets you free. That's the first question. How did the truth set you free? Go back to when and go back to how did the truth set you free. And then I think the second question that you need to ask yourself is, what specifically did the truth set you free from? How did the truth set you free? What did the truth set you free from? The third question to ask yourself is, how are you learning, obeying, and growing in the truth today? How did it set you free? What did it specifically set you free from? How are you learning, obeying, and growing in the truth today? And then the fourth and final question is this, is how are you proclaiming the truth to others? We did a truth assessment last week, kind of just seeing what we know and what we believe about God's word and God's truth. And I think what's so important for us is now that we know the truth, we've been set free from the truth. We go back to John, and it says clearly that those who abide in my word and who obey my word and who live out my word, those are my disciples. Those are my people. And as disciples, we are called, at Mark 16, 15 says, to go and preach the gospel. How are you proclaiming that truth? I have a memory verse for you as well that I want to give to you. You guys put that memory verse? Yeah. John 8, 31. This is what I'm talking about. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. What do we know about the word? It's the truth. If you continue in my truth, remember the truth that sets you free. Remember what the truth sets you free from. And go, right? What Jesus says, go and sin no more. Temptation will come. There will be days that you feel weak and you're not strong enough. And this is where you find your strength, and this is where you find your hope, and this is what you need to lean on in those moments when you feel weak. Know the truth, obey the truth, and live the truth. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads. Close your eyes. I want to pray with you, but I think I need to start right here. Go right to that first question. When did the truth set you free? Maybe you're here today or you're listening online and you can't honestly answer that question. Man, if that's the case, I need you to know something. If the truth has not set you free, then you are still a slave to sin. And I want to encourage you today that though sin has taken hold of your life for as long as it has, it doesn't matter, because all that Jesus offers you right now is the truth, and that truth will set you free. And it's the truth of who he is, that God sent him down, and he knew no sin, but he took our place on the cross so that he could defeat your sin and my sin, and give us resurrection, and give us new life, and allow us to be set free from the bondage of sin and death. If you haven't had that truth-setting free experience, let it be today, where you've heard the word preached, and you understand that there's no condemnation, there's no judgment, there's love. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. Will it cause a change in lifestyle? Will it cause you to turn away from sin? Yes. But there is so much freedom in Jesus that you are missing out on. So I'd encourage you today, take a moment right now. Man, think about yourself as that, maybe as that woman at Jesus' feet, all of her sin displayed right there. And all he says is, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Go and sin no more. It's going to be a journey, and it's going to be one where you got to hold on to the truth that you have found. But I would encourage you right now to take that step. Lay your sin at his feet and walk away with him and go live out in the truth all the days of your life. Now, second thing. Maybe today you're here and the truth sets you free from the bondage of sin and of slavery, but some circumstances took place, some things happened, and slowly but surely, that temptation and that sin tried to draw you back in. and you feel bad and you feel regret and you feel shame, can I just tell you, can I just give you the freedom today right now to let that be in the past and begin to move forward from today and live in the truth of the freedom of Jesus Christ in your life? It's okay. It's okay if you fell back into temptation. It's okay if you fell back into sin. Jesus loves you just as much today as he did yesterday, as he will tomorrow. But you got to turn back to him and turn back to the truth of his word, that truth that once set you free. Give it to him. Begin to live for him again. The fourth thing is just that proclamation. We have this amazing truth that has set us free, and the world needs to know about it. And I'm praying that each and every one of us, as Jesus' followers, would know his truth and go out and proclaim it. Because our world desperately needs it. There is so much hurt, and there's so much ruin, and there's so much chaos. And it hurts my heart to see that the enemy has these strongholds in these people's lives, and there's only one thing that can set them free, and it's the truth. And I think each of you need to understand and know that God may have specifically chosen you to preach the truth, to help someone be set free by it. Don't miss those opportunities. God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your spirit today. God, I thank you for boldly proclaiming the truth to us, boldly reminding us of the truth that set us free. God, I pray that we would not take any of this for granted. You have given us your word. You have given us your son. You have called us into freedom to live and to boldly proclaim that truth, to boldly hold the line. God, I pray that we would do that, that we would live that every day of our lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.